All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. You know, many people, when picking up the Bible or when trying to read it, they say, you know, I just can't understand it. It seems too complicated for me. And you know what? There's a reason for that. It's because the Bible itself is encrypted. At least parts of it are encrypted so that some can see and others cannot see. Now, don't panic if you say, well, maybe I can't see, so I'm going to put it down. No, you can, if you take the proper steps necessary, if you ask, seek, and knock for wisdom and understanding, and you humble yourself before Almighty God, He will open up to you the things that He wants you to see. You know, as far as some of the deeper mysteries are concerned in the Bible, they can only be understood by those initiated into God's kingdom. I know that sounds like a spooky word, a mystical word, and even pagans use it for initiation and things like that. But nevertheless, being initiated into God's kingdom is a necessary part, a necessary step into understanding the mysteries of His kingdom. And you might say, well, that Pastor Ben, that sounds really strange. I just can't accept that. Well, these aren't my words. In as far as the Bible being encrypted and hidden from some and revealed to others, they're not my words. These are the words of Christ. And let's look at them. Matthew 13, verse 11. He answered and said unto them, this is Jesus, the disciples came up and asked him, why are you speaking in parables? And this was his response, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Think about that. That's a pretty powerful statement. And we're not going to leave it just at that today. We're going to really dig in and understand what this means. And this is going, we need to take this step before moving on through the book of Revelation, because the book of Revelation itself is encrypted. It's encrypted for a very good reason. But before we begin, let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray for wisdom and understanding in your word. Please give us eyes to see and ears to hear so that we can understand your word and that we can share it with others. And we love you and thank you for all that you do for us. In Yeshua Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Let us... Please turn with me again. We'll go back and we'll do a little bit of review, but we're going to highlight some points here in the first chapter of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, and you'll see why I'm going back here for a second here. The revelation of Jesus Christ, okay, it's about Him as well as His message to us, but it does, parts of the book of Revelation actually reveal the character of Christ as well as Almighty God Himself, which God gave unto him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass, and He sent and He signified it by His angel unto His servant John. So right off the bat, this book of Revelation, it isn't written to anybody but the servants of Almighty God. So if you're not serving God and you just want to learn the Bible because you want you know, to read about something very intriguing, very fascinating, you want to know what's going to happen in the end, forget it. You will not understand it. You will chase your tail. You'll go around in circles. But if you're a servant of Almighty God and you want to work for His kingdom, this is for you. He will help you decipher those encryptions. And we're going to, if you're confused about what an encryption is, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But notice here I have highlighted, He signified it. Let's take a look at that word here. The word signified in the Greek is semeno, means to render, this is one of the definitions for it, to render into signs, codes, or signals. Think about that. That's pretty profound. Almighty God sent this message through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to his angel, and the angel encrypted it into a message so that some could see and others could not see. In other words, so that it would be revealed only to the servants of Almighty God. Those who are not serving God, they will not see these things in this great book. And let's look at this for a second. Encrypted codes are not new. Governments use them to guard the nation's secrets. Businesses use them to protect their trade secrets from competitors and so on. The military uses them to guard its secrets, including tactical communications, as well as different tactical movements and things like that in warfare. In fact, many battles throughout history have been decided. The deciding factor of many battles have been either the ability or inability to decipher encrypted codes, or to be able to encrypt those codes so nobody could decipher them, but except for those intended to. You use them all the time without even ever thinking about it. And we'll talk about that in a second as well. But let's look at something here. This was a Western Union telegram sent in the year 1917. And it was sent by, it's called the Zimmerman Telegram. And I got this from Wikipedia. This telegram was written by German Foreign Secretary Arthur Zimmerman and received by the German ambassador to Mexico on January 19th, 1917. It is a coded message sent to Mexico proposing a military alliance against the United States. The obvious threats to the United States contained in the telegram inflamed the American public opinion against Germany and helped convince Congress to declare war against Germany in 1917. But what do you see there? They sent a Western Union telegram here. Anybody could have picked this up, but you know what? They're not going to understand it. It's just a series of codes. But if you had the key to be able to decipher these codes, this is what would be read. This is the message here. It says, "We intend to begin on the 1st of February unrestricted submarine warfare. We shall endeavor, in spite of this, to keep the United States of America neutral. In the event of this not succeeding, we make Mexico a proposal of alliance on the following basis. Make war together, make peace together. Generous financial support and an understanding on our part that Mexico is to reconquer the lost territory in Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. The settlement in detail is left to you. You will inform the president of the above most secretly as soon as the outbreak of war with the United States of America is certain, and add the suggestion that he should, on his own initiative, invite Japan to immediate adherence and, at the same time, mediate between Japan and ourselves. Please call the president's attention to the fact that the ruthless employment of our submarines now offers the proposal of compelling England in a few months to make peace. Signed, Zimmerman." So there's just an example of how encrypted codes have been sent for strategic purposes by nations, governments. This isn't anything new. Let's take a look at this. Many of you use Facebook, and you'll see there this symbol up here, HTTPS, and a lock at the top there. This is supposed to be a signal that it is an encrypted page so that hackers can't see what you're doing. Now, of course, we know that the NSA probably has the keys to all of these things so that they can watch you. So you're not really protected from everybody. But I'm just trying to show examples of this here. If you have a bank account and you go to sign in, all your information is supposed to be encrypted so that hackers or that other people cannot see your private information. Even when you do Google searches, that's supposed to be protected as well. And I went by through that fast. But Let me show you an example here. Here is a regular web page. It's just, I just pulled up Google Maps. And this is supposed to be a protected page. So the source code for this page looks something like this. Now it is in code. It's encrypted. It's just a bunch of series of letters that mean nothing to us, but they're scrambled up in a way that can develop the page, but you cannot copy it. You cannot copy it. It's encrypted. That's the same page encrypted. So that's important. We'll go back to that later. But you would need an encryption key to be able to decipher that. Now, I got an example here we're going to look at. You look at all these different letters up here, and they don't mean anything to you. They mean nothing. But this is a code. This is a code. You need, but if you have an encryption key, and here it is, I'll put it down there. This is a very basic example of encryption. What we did was we substituted one letter for another letter. In other words, A stands for Y, B, S, C, A, D, O, and so forth. So now that we have that piece of information, this is important because this applies biblically, and we'll talk about that too. Here we go. D equals O, Z equals P, so we keep plugging these in. G equals E, I equals N, Y, and then we keep going. U, O, U, R, E, Y, E, S. It says, open your eyes, the first three words. Then we'll just plug the rest of them in here quickly. The truth is in plain sight to God's servants who ask, seek, and knock. So that's fascinating. That's, again, that's just a very, very basic example of encryption. An encryption like this could be broken easily by somebody who knows how to do that and figure out probabilities and so forth. But anyways, let's look at a biblical example of a hidden code. So this is from page 75 of Cosmic Codes by Dr. Chuck Missler. Now, I have to say this every time because sometimes when you quote somebody, somebody says, hey, you support everything they teach. Now, this guy happens to believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. And I don't believe in that. But yet, he does bring up some very interesting things in God's Word. He has a science background, a background in sophisticated communications technologies, and has worked on top secret programs for the government. So he kind of knows these things. And now he's a Christian, has been for some time, and he likes to dig into these sorts of things. But anyways, from Genesis chapter 5 in Adam's genealogy, you have a hidden code. Adam, man, and I'm just going to, you see, Seth means appointed, Enosh, mortal, Kenan, sorrow, and on down the line. But when you put all these definitions together, they say something pretty profound. Says, man appointed mortal. Sorrow, the blessed God shall come down, teaching. His death shall bring the despairing rest or comfort. In other words, this foretells of God himself coming in the flesh to save his people. To save his people. Come down, teaching, and so forth. So that we're not appointed to death, to damnation. So there you have it, right in the genealogy of Adam himself. It's the plan of salvation. Now, again, this is just the tip of the iceberg. These things are all, these different hidden codes and things like that are all over the Word of God. And many times what they do, now I'm not going to get into the highly speculative area where some people take Bible codes and they really run wild with them. They try to make all these predictions of this exact event and that event. And I'm not saying that's where we're going with that. I like to see some of these things. Am I saying that they can't foretell of different things? I'm not saying that at all, but I know there's a lot of wild speculation when it comes to some of these things. But what we can do is you look at something like this, and it strengthens your faith in God's word to know that man could not write this. That the author, even though he used different penmen, 40 different penmen from all different walks of life over a 2,000-year period, they all have the same authorship because God's fingerprints are placed throughout them, his proof even, because he's done things even in codes here that no man could design all on his own. And there are different things we're going to get into in the book of Revelation. We were told to count in Revelation 13. We are told to count the number of the beast. And that's the number of a man. And his number is 666. That's a code that we're supposed to work to be able to decipher. It's encrypted. Think about that. And maybe by the time we get there, we'll even understand more about that. But here's another one. This right here are the words in Hebrew that were placed upon the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you'll notice there, it says in the English, it would read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, or the King of Judah. And it in the Hebrew, it's Yeshua HaNazari VaMelech. And then it's HaYahudim. But what we have here is an acrostic. Right on the cross, above our Lord and Savior, and you'll see why this is fascinating. First letter is a Y or a Yod, H or a He, Vav or a V, and then an H again. And what does this spell? The sacred name of Almighty God. Think about that for a minute. Right above the cross, in a hidden code here, an acrostic, and this is a mystery to most people, is the name Yahweh. In other words, Yahweh himself came to pay the price. He was nailed to that cross. And this is hard for many people to accept when you realize that the Father and the Son are one. Different roles, different offices. And you know what the problem is with man is we try to take a multidimensional being, the creator of the universe, and try to see him on just our level, our dimension. You know, people argue, they say, well, you know, we know that Jesus was the Son of God, so he can't be God. And then other people point out that, no, Jesus was God. But then they ignore that he was the Son of God. And you get two different camps of people fighting about this, bickering about it, because they're trying to limit Almighty God to their dimensional thinking, to their human reasoning. But God's much bigger than that. He is both Father and Son. And we'll get into that a little bit later today or another time. Very important, the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have, if you have a companion Bible, Appendix 60, I don't agree with necessarily his interpretation, Dr. Bollinger's, but we have another there are different acrostics in the book of Esther. And I go over these. We did a very controversial series of studies, and it'll offend people that haven't really dug into the mysteries of God's kingdom concerning the serpent seed and so forth. But there are hidden acrostics in the book of Esther that point certain things out to us. They point out, for instance, when you go through and you read about the supposed heroes in that book, Esther and Mordecai, the acrostics will spell, in some cases, they spell God's name backwards so that you know there's a backward story going on. In other words, the people that are supposed to be good are actually the villains. And Haman ends up being really, when you look at it, is future of Christians being persecuted on this earth. In other words, again, Esther and Mordecai, everybody thinks they're the heroes. But the acrostics, I believe, tell us that they were the villains. And if that sounds confusing, hey, do our series of studies on the book of Esther. And I hope you'll find them very informative. Question, does Jesus send encrypted messages? And we will see right here. Matthew 13, verse 10. If you want to turn there, let's begin reading. And the disciples came and said unto him, this is after Christ got done speaking some pretty profound parables. They say, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why do you do that? Excuse me. And he answered and said unto them, check this out, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries, not something that everybody can see. These are secrets. Now, don't make this into a mystical thing, although it is pretty fascinating. Know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Think about that. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Have you noticed when you study God's word, and if you're initiated, and we're going to talk about what it means to be initiated. You're not just doing this for an intellectual pursuit, but you're doing it because you want to grow closer to Almighty God. You want to serve Him. You want to love your brother. Basically, if you want to follow the major two commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are a couple things. He'll keep pouring it on you. You will never be able to attain the full knowledge of God. You'll be initiated to different levels of understanding. We'll document that too. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Hey, if he doesn't have anything, any real truth, he's going to lose it all. It's got to keep growing. It's got to keep growing or you lose it. Excuse me. Therefore, verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Think about that. That's the same as a government sending messages to its servants, to its ambassadors, to people in the know, that to people they want to know the different plans of the day. They send them, and sometimes they'll send them publicly in front of everybody so that they can get the message across, but it's encrypted so that others that they don't want to know won't know. Again, if you're panicking and you're saying, but does that mean I'll never be able to understand the Bible? No, because Christ said, if you ask, seek and not know, it doesn't mean that is what I'm saying. You can understand if you try. If you honestly ask, seek and knock, and desire to serve and to love God, He will show it to you. You might not get it all at once. I know you're not going to get it all at once. I've been doing this for over 15 years. And almost 20 years now, I believe. At least 20 years really, really hard. And I still feel like I'm just learning. I'm just beginning. I'm just beginning to get a view of who God is, how great He is, and His plan. I don't know if I finished reading that, but you read it probably. Anyways, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear. You're going to hear it, but you shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. It's not going to make sense to you. It won't click into your mind. Now, can you think of the scribes and the Pharisees, all those people of that upper learned class? They heard the teachings of Christ, but they could not perceive. They were really religious. went to church every week, went to synagogue, I guess is what you call it, but it's church. But they didn't understand it. They didn't understand the word that they were reading because they left out the key to the encryption. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now there's more to it, but on the basic level, Christ is the key to unlock who he is and his divinity is what opens up the entire Word of God. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. I mean, they can't get it. Have you ever tried to communicate God's message to people? Even those people that go to church week in and week out, but aren't really seeking the Word of God? They're thick. They're dense. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted. Think about that. And I should heal them. But they can't because they're blind. When we go back to Revelation here in a little bit, you'll see a little bit maybe why that is so. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That is the biggest, that is the greatest blessing that one could have on this earth, is to have eyes to see and ears to hear, to understand the thoughts, the plans of our Creator, of our King. But you know what? To other people, this is what God's Word looks like. That's what it looks like to them. A bunch of series of codes that are complicated and nothing seems to line up. Nothing seems to be clear. And they see that they can learn and learn and learn all they want for an intellectual pursuit. And this is all they see. Verse 17 of Matthew 13. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Think about that. What Christ is trying to say is the information I'm giving you is precious. It's priceless. I can't even begin to talk about it. It's so amazing. Let's skip on down to 34 of Matthew 13. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them. So when he was speaking to large gatherings of people, he didn't just tell things plainly. He spoke them in parables for many different reasons. He wanted people to seek out the truth. And at some time, he wanted to hide things from certain people. And he wanted to protect other people from being offended and things like that, to protect them from sinning greatly against him, against Almighty God. So it's amazing. There is a reason Christ has his word encrypted, especially the mysteries of the kingdom. Hey, salvation. And things like that, hey, those are some basic things that are open to all. But there are certain things that God only wants certain people to understand. Am I trying to create a high class of people? No, I'm not. I'm just trying to say that God has a kingdom. And he's got roles and responsibilities for his people. And he brings you up to where you need to be. And we'll document that. Verse 35, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. You know what? That is fascinating. There were things that had been kept secret all the way since before this word was even written. I should say from Genesis on. I mean, the Word of God has always been here. That's probably another aspect that we're not going to touch on right now. But anyways, there are things that have been kept secret. Namely, the tares, how Satan came in the middle of the night and sowed his children on the earth, the serpent seed. But we're not going to get into that today. Well, let's move on. Verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's what Christ is saying there is, he's calling out for his servants to decipher the encryption. You know, I was going to say this on the verse prior. When we understand that Christ speaks in parables, and we understand his method of doing things, and we start seeing different codes or different things interwoven even into different scriptures in the Old Testament, whether it's a genealogy, whether it was a handwriting on the wall for Belshazzar, you name it. Different acrostics in the book of Psalms, we find out that even when Christ or God's word doesn't specifically say something's a parable or it has a deeper meaning to it, doesn't mean that it's not one. Doesn't mean that it's not one. So, you know, our Father is really good at communicating and usually sometimes may not even, if it's something that he really wants his servants to understand and really wants it to be selective, he's not even going to tell you that it is probably. Anyways, I really truly believe that the Apostle Paul understood many of these things and taught many of these mysteries, taught many of these things that were hidden to most. And they were hidden to him at one time as well, until he was given the key, which is Christ, to unlock the Torah. Now, I know I probably have a certain segment of people that, you know, have issues with Paul and things like that, but we're going to leave it at that for now. And we'll move on. Matthew 13, verse 43. Then shall the... Okay, this is actually quoted directly from Daniel chapter 12. And you know what? We're not going to go there. But go there and read it. That's why Christ said he wants you to go back and read what was written in Daniel 12. It was all about the wise in the end. Those who have been given eyes to see and ears to hear, who would understand many of the things that Daniel could not understand. Even as far as different timelines of the end days. And I'll leave it at that. Verse 51, Jesus saith unto them, I think I skipped a couple, but Jesus saith unto them, have you understood these things? In other words, he just got done speaking a bunch of parables and we didn't read them all. You can go back and read them on your own time. I want to highlight this point though. Jesus says unto them, have you understood these things? Do you understand these parables? Do you know the meanings? They say unto him, his disciples, yea, Lord, yes, we do. Now we're going to come to a verse that's been a very special verse to me for many years now, and one that helped me decide to lay the foundation for Christian overcomers, to do the things that I'm doing. And you'll see why here. Verse 52. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder. Okay, he's like a manager, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. In other words, what he's telling his disciples, hey, if you understand these things, you're like a scribe that's... This word instructed here is actually initiated. Check it out. Look it up in the Greek. Every scribe that is initiated into the kingdom of heaven, if you know these mysteries, you're like a householder, a manager, where you're supposed to dish out the food, dish out the treasure, share it with others. New things, new and old. In other words, sometimes you take old truths and you can put them in a way that's fresh. Let's say there's some current events happening. You apply these, I don't even want to call them old, but old principles, old types in the Bible, and you expound upon them and relate them to how they affect us today. How they affect us today. Type, different types and examples and so on. Now, think about this. There were different levels of initiation in God's kingdom. There was a time when Jesus Christ, Yahshua, hand-selected three of his disciples. He didn't take all 12 of them. He took Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration and showed them what would transpire. With Moses and Elijah there being witnesses to witness the whole event and so on. So why would God do that? Why does he take some and show them more? Well, it's simply because of this, because he trusts them. And they are usually those who are constantly seeking. Constantly ask, seeking, and knocking. They want to know. They search. Not just, again, not just a purely intellectual quest. But sometimes they get down on their knees and say, Father, help me to understand. Don't let me go astray. I want the truth. And I don't want to be led away from the truth. You know, sometimes when I'm studying, you're learning about the law, I say, Father, don't let me be a Pharisee. But yet, don't let me be a lawless. Help me find that balance where you want me to be. And that's a tough quest for many people when studying God's Word. Because sometimes there doesn't seem to be a black and white. There are areas we're trying to learn as we grow. All right. What we've covered so far kind of brings up some of these questions then. Who are the initiated ones? And what do you have to do to be initiated? And do you have to be super smart? Well, I guess many of you who have studied the Bible for any length of time, you know that you don't have to be super smart because of the people Christ chose to be his disciples and apostles, fishermen, common men, tax gatherers, and you name it. There were some that were smart, but most were not smart, I should say, intellectual in the ways of the world. But let's answer these questions first by going to Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight. Now, this is fascinating. Again, that's why I said this isn't an intellectual quest. It's fun to study, and we're supposed to, you know, use methods of learning and things like that. But when it comes down to it, you're going to see the things that you see because of the Holy Spirit giving you eyes to see and ears to hear, letting you decipher the meanings of God's Word. And what is it, Jesus said, hey, I'm so thankful, I praise you for hiding these things from those who think they are so wise, those who are on an ego trip, who think I'm a doctor of theology. I'm a doctor, this and that. I have all these fancy letters after my name, but they mean nothing, my friend, in the eyes of Christ and in the eyes of Almighty God, because God can hide a simple truth from somebody who is considered wise in this world, somebody who has all these different degrees. Now, does that mean that having a degree is bad? No, it doesn't. They really help. It's great to have good scholars, good smart people, but they have to have other things going for them as well. And it says he revealed them unto babes. That's just innocent, common people who love God, who ask simple questions like why. You ever have a two-year-old, a three-year-old? Why this? Why, mommy? Why? They constantly are saying why. And that's how we are to seek Almighty God. Sometimes I drive my wife crazy sometimes because I sit there and I daydream. And I'm like, why would he do this? Why would he do that? And it's kind of funny. She gets a kick out of it. And, you know, when I brainstorm with some close people that are close to me in the Word, we sit around and we ask questions why. We don't always say, try to make everything fit into the mold that we think we already know it all. No, we sit there, why would that be? And we pray about it, and we think about it, and the answers come many times in many different ways. So the wise of this world, take for instance the scribes and the Pharisees, they're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They spin circles. And you know what? It continually looks like this to them. Though they think they understand it, though they've got it, they think they've got it all down pat, the Word of God to them is a scrambled up bunch of codes that they are unable to decipher. Let's skip over to Luke chapter 10, verse 22. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now, that all sounds like a parable in itself, doesn't it? And he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. Again, he says it again here. For I tell you that many prophets and kings even, think about that, prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Again, don't ever take it for granted. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, if you understand different mysteries like the mystery of the tares among the wheat and of the serpent seed, you are blessed indeed because you have a better picture of what's going on in the world today. Is that the only mystery? No, it's not. Definitely not. Now, one of the mysteries is understanding who true Israel is. Notice mysteries of the kingdom. Many people can't even see who the people of the kingdom are, see who they are. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Let's skip over here. And Simon Peter answered and said, I think I skipped over from Luke here, but we're going to go over here to Matthew 16. I'll give you a second to turn there if I'm going too fast for you here. We're going here because it's all part of the same question. Did Christ encrypt different messages and did he reveal them to some? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. For, now check this out, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee. You, no matter what amount of intellectual, scholastic work you've done, it means nothing. Think of the Apostle Paul. He knew the Torah inside and out, but it was still jumbled up to him because Christ is on every page of the Torah. But he couldn't see it. He couldn't unlock the true meanings, the true applications of the Torah till he was knocked down on the road of Damascus and shown the way. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Again, that's how you, if you're having trouble understanding, again, that's why we're going here first, so that when we get, Revelation deals with some pretty fantastic symbols and codes and things like that. And we need to start here to figure out how we're going to understand these things. How are we going to understand the book of Revelation? We need, while I'm putting together these studies, I need to be on my knees and pray and ask for understanding so that I can share them with you. But at the same time, you need to pray for understanding. Don't ever take my words as the final authority. Do your own research. Do your own research. Because no man is without error. That's why he says, flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Okay. Now, I'm trying to think of I do have a note here for myself here. John chapter 3, verses 9 through 13 tell us the story of Nicodemus when Christ was trying to teach him some what we would call almost abstract thoughts, so to speak. But it really wasn't even that difficult. And we'll see what Christ actually said to Nicodemus there. We're not going to read. I'm just going to paraphrase it. He said, "Are you not a master of Israel?" In other words, he says, "You're a master of Israel and you don't understand these things that I'm teaching you?" And Nicodemus was supposed to be a leader. I think he was a Pharisee, I believe. He says, "If you cannot understand earthly things, how am I going to tell you about heavenly things?" Think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. That's what we're talking about when we're getting into encryption and codes and God's word. It's God's revealing heavenly things to us. All throughout the book of Revelation, we're seeing signs in heaven and on earth and back and forth. And we're seeing some pretty amazing. We're brought into the very throne room of the universe where they're gathering together, having a meeting. And then, it's pretty profound. And that's why we're going to go through this book with a fine comb. We're not going to just go run through it real fast, because if there's one book that you need to understand, it's the book of Revelation. And in fact, it's one book that makes you understand you need to understand all of the Bible to understand it. And that's what, in a sense, that's even a code in itself. Hey, if you're not going to do the legwork to study the Old Testament, you're not going to understand the book of Revelation. So if you're confused, you need to get back into the Old Testament. Read it through, study it. I know we've done the book of Deuteronomy. Hey, I wish we had more books out there, but there are other good teachers out there that go through these things. You can pick up with those. Let's go to the next verse. Let's skip over to Matthew 16, verse 18. I think we're skipping back to where we were. Matthew 16, verse 18. Let's go back here. "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church." In other words, he was a chip of the rock. "And the gates chip off of the rock." He wasn't the rock. Another subject for another time. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys." Now check this out, the keys. Remember we talked about encryption keys? "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now I can think of another place where there was a key to different things. It was called the key of David. And you can find it, I believe, is Isaiah 22. As well as Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. It was a key that opened doors that no man could shut. I believe it was doors into the mysteries of God's kingdom. Verse 20, "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." We're getting kind of long on the study, but we still have some verses we want to go through. Hopefully we'll get them all in here. Let's cruise on. "So he kept it a secret." Not everything is to be known at all times. Okay, I guess now we're going back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And now we're going to go back here to figure out who are the initiated ones. Well, let's look at it. "And from Jesus Christ," this is the message, it's coming from Jesus Christ, "who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Now you see there, I have highlighted there, "washed us from our sins in his own blood." That's part of the initiation process, my friends. You have to believe. You have to have faith and love our Lord Jesus Christ to even be able to get to step one. Think about that. Baptism is another outward sign of initiation into the kingdom, and so on. But we'll go to verse 6. He says, "And hath made us." I know we've read these verses already, but now we're looking at them from a different angle. We read them before in a prior study. "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Think about that for a minute. This book was written specifically to God's servants who are kings and priests. There's no wonder why you have eyes to see and ears to hear. It's because you have a great deal of responsibility. You play a part in God's kingdom. You help administer. You're an ambassador for it. You know, I can't help but think of the time when Christ said that when he said to his disciples that you shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And there we have it, Revelation 1 verse 1 again, this written to his servants. Now, that's another thing, that to be initiated, you have to do work. You have to do work for his kingdom. That doesn't mean everybody's got to be a Bible teacher and so forth, but you have to do something to further God's kingdom, or you're not going to attain levels that you wish to attain. That can simply be by supporting a Bible teaching ministry, by tithes, donations, offerings, whatever. I know there are some people that, you know, that can't see the forest through the trees. We don't believe in churches shouldn't collect tithes or offerings. Well, how do you think they operate? Somebody's paying the price somewhere. And nothing's for free, my friend. If you're one of those people that wants everything for free and you're a freeloader, you're not a servant of Almighty God. Am I trying to strong arm people to support ministries and so forth? No, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Hey, I don't care if you support this ministry, but you need to support some ministry in order to be a servant of Almighty God. That either means you're going to do the hands-on work, or, hey, if you're too busy working yourself at other jobs, then you translate that into work through tithes and offerings. And I suppose we'll get into another study on that some other time, but there are some people out there that are, man, I tell you what, I don't know. I don't know where they come from. But let's go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. And hey, we might go over an hour on this. That's all right. If we do, we do. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling. Now I'm going here because I'm going to point out that there are different levels of initiation into God's kingdom. Not everybody's going to see the same truths. And there's a reason for that. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called unto his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. What do you think his goods are? His word and other means to further advance his kingdom. Gifts, talents, and so on. Verse 15, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. You know what? What you have right now is the result of the ability you've shown to Almighty God, of what you can do for his kingdom. So, you know, sometimes that's hard for us. Sometimes we look at it, you know, well, I should, have this great grand ministry. Well, what we have right now is what we can handle. That's the ability that we have, and we have to accept that. But there are things we can do about it. And that is work. Work, not just by the teacher, but by everybody together working to support those who get the message out to the people, to get the truth out. And straightway took his journey. Then he that received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made other 5 talents. Okay, doing work for the kingdom, not sitting back wanting everything for free. And I know it may sound like I'm going down hard on that, but this parable tells it that Christians are not supposed to be freeloaders. Yes, we're supposed to help the poor and the needy and so forth, and that's what we're supposed to do. Anyways, the freeloading mentality is something that doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in God's kingdom if you're a servant. And we're going to find out that here in a little bit. Then he that received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. They're making progress. They're producing fruit. In this sense, it's even equated to a monetary sense here. And likewise, he that received two, he also gained another two. Okay, they're working, they're trading, they're getting busy. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. This is your freeloader. He doesn't support ministries that teach the truth. He says everything should be given to us for free. And he doesn't want to go out and do any work himself. He or she. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Now, the Day of Atonement is interesting because the Day of Atonement is a day of reckoning. It's that day that comes around once every year. So God is going to look at the accounts. He's going to see what the books say. And so he that received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more because I used the resources that God gave me. I was able to double the progress for the ministry, for the kingdom. Kingdoms, the kingdom, you see, the kingdom does take resources. And again, you have those freeloaders out there that say, well, we don't, no tithes and offerings. Are you a beggar? Are you just taking people's money? How do you think the kingdom operates? It operates on people's work. And it can be translated into the monetary sense, but it all comes down to work. Resources and five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. Boy, that evil, that's kind of evil, you know, working hard. Verse 21, that's the socialist mentality here. And he said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Now check that out, ruler. Should that not go back to who the book of Revelation was written to, the servants who will rule as kings and priests? Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And you're going to see what. Now, notice, all these different servants were given different amounts. That equates into different levels of understanding or levels of initiation, if you would. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. So he didn't have five, he only had two, but he still did the work. He did what he's supposed to do. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Typical complainer here. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, here that thou hast is thine. Friend, you better use your talents. In whatever capacity you have, whatever God has given you, talents, gifts, resources, it better be used. You better be using something for the kingdom. Or you'll end up like this guy here. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. In other words, the master didn't actually do the work. He had servants that did the work for him. And that master is Almighty God. He expects us to be doing the work. Therefore, thou should, at least this is what you're supposed to do. Therefore, thou shouldest, therefore, put thy money to the exchangers. You should at least put it in the bank where you can make interest. I'm not necessarily talking about different banking schemes today. But then at my coming, I should have received with mine own with usury. Remember, you can take usury, you can accept usury off of the foreign nations, non-Israelite peoples. That's not against the law. Take therefore and sometimes there's speculation on whether you can take it from business endeavors and so forth. But anyways, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. Where does God want the resources? He wants them where the guy that has the ability to do work will actually work. The guy that has the 10 talents, he who knows how to manage, he who knows how to get things done, to get things accomplished. Now, this is totally opposite of the socialist socialist teachings that we're taught today. That, you know, everybody should just be fair and equal and everything should be equally distributed to all. Here, God takes from the poor, lazy guy and gives it, if you would, to the rich guy. Because you know what? The rich guy, in this sense, this is a rich, godly guy, not a corrupt rich guy. He's gonna make more jobs for more people. Because he's advancing, in this sense, this servant is advancing the kingdom of Almighty God. That's what it boils down to. God wants those gifts and talents in the hands of those who will use them. Matthew 25, verse 29, "For unto everyone that hath shall be given." This is opposite of socialism. "And he shall have abundance. From him that hath not shall be taken away, even that he hath." Take it away from him. He's a complainer. He's a user. He's a freeloader. "And cast an unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be wailing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth." All right, we're going to close up with this verse here. Proverbs 25, verse 2. "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. That's what we're going to do. Because we're addressed in the book of Revelation, if we have eyes to see and ears to hear, we are called priests and kings. It is our duty, it is our honor even, to be able to search out those things that God has concealed, those things that God has encrypted in his word on many different levels. So like the parable of the talents showed us there. And again, you're not going to get there by just a purely intellectual endeavor. And there are many people I've seen do that. Hey, it doesn't work. I've seen it fail. They go around in circles, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And it's sad. Again, because without faith and love and true sincerity, God will never bless you with the ability to see. And then there's a whole other realm of this too, is that God has chosen some from before even the foundations of this world to reveal things too. And that's something we can get into another time. And you know what? I think that is the end of this study. Hey, we went just a little bit over an hour. Hope you enjoyed it. But like we always say, because Christ said it in Matthew chapter 4, when tempted of the devil, he said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, every single word." So see that you break it down, consume it every day, and meditate upon it so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.